Hardglass, and welcome to It's All About Food. Thank you so much for tuning in. And just a little bit of what we do here during this hour on It's All About Food, talking about my favorite subject, food. I'm Karen Hardglass, and I'm the founder of a nonprofit called Responsible Eating and Living. And what I like to do is connect the dots and talk about how food affects environment, health, the treatment of animals. But most of all, I love to show that we can change the world and we can have fun doing it. Because the food tastes great, and it's good for us. It makes us feel great. And there's no reason, there's really no good reason not to eat this way, healthy, plant-based, beautiful, colorful foods. And this is just a season to be jolly. This is holiday time. And more we're seeing cookbooks coming out, recipes coming out, made with all beautiful plant-based ingredients to show we can have our cake and eat it too. We can have it all. It's gorgeous, it's delicious, it's fun, and so we're just going to continue the party here for this next hour. I'm going to pour myself a chilled virtual beer and introduce my first guest, John Schlimm, the author of The Tipsy Vegan, just in time for the holidays. John Schlimm, a member of one of the oldest brewing families in the United States, brings together the flavor of the kitchen and the fun of the bar in the Tipsy Vegan 75 boozy recipes to turn every bite into happy hour, showcasing plant-based recipes that feature everything from beer to brandy. He presents irresistibly tasty dishes that are easy to prepare and reveal the wilder side of everyday fruits and vegetables. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hey, Karen, I'm so excited to be with you and all your listeners. We're going to have fun with this one for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I love your book, and I love the attitude and everything about it because, well, like I just said, there's only joy in this food. There's only fun, and it's about time we started changing the image of plant-based food and vegan people.
That's right. I when I set out, I really wanted to create a party in a book. I wanted you to check reality at page one and just let the party carry you away from there and really redefine what vegan food is. Because like you said, that word vegan has become sort of scary and mysterious to a lot of people, especially those of us who aren't vegans. And I really wanted to sort of plow right on through all of those misconceptions and show that this really can be a very fun and healthy way of eating.
Okay, let me ask you, are you a vegan?
Yes.
You mentioned
in a small town, which in a very small rural town, which
in
you know,
Pennsylvania.
So that's an interesting perspective, you know, to sort of bring to this. You know, if I'm surrounded by family and friends who are very ingrained in the hunting and meat eating culture here, so it's been an interesting journey.
Well, how do they handle you, and how do you handle them?
Well, you know, I think it's sort of a mutual respect of sorts and sort of learning what makes each other tick. You know, I think I, for a long time, have been sort of a strange figure to a lot of people here, and they sort of watch what I do. And, you know, rather than being preachy, I sort of just lead by example and quietly. And it's been really interesting since The Tipsy Vegan came out and, you know, and since I transitioned to this lifestyle a few years ago, I have so many people at home here coming up to me saying, you know, we don't really eat that much meat anymore,
mm-hmm.
or we don't really even like the taste of meat anymore. And it's almost like this book has helped them come out of the meat cooler as opposed to the closet, you know, and sort of like they're feeling a little more comfortable saying, you know what, I don't really want to eat that much meat anymore. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned people coming out about this. I lived in the south of France for 4 years in the 90s, and I never met a vegetarian. And then late in the 90s, no, somewhere in the early 2000s, this veggie pride parade started in Paris. And the vegetarians were coming out of the closet, literally. It was hysterical. And now we have Veggie Pride Parade here in New York City and in a variety of places. But there's a lot of reason to have pride in this choice.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I wanted to, you know, not only create the party in a book, but a party that everyone was welcome at, whether you are a lifelong vegan, an occasional visitor, or maybe you're just hungry. You know, my door
Everybody's
is open.
Always hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, my door or book cover, as it is, you know, is always open to everyone to come on in and just have fun.
Well, I'm looking at some very interesting numbers, and this should bode well for the sale of your book, and that is... Vegetarian Resource Group just came out with the results of a Harris poll. I don't know if you've seen it, but apparently 3% of the men in the United States are vegan, 2% of women. And,
wow.
Yeah, those are pretty big numbers for us, and it's definitely increasing. And there are many people that are acknowledging that they eat less meat, less chicken, less fish, and all of that is great, and it's great for our health, it's great for the environment, it's great for the animals, and it's great for vegan cookbook sales.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think documentaries like Forks Over Knives and Veggiecated, you know, they have helped so much nationally, as well as having people like Bill Clinton and Ozzy Osbourne, for heaven's sakes, come out and say that they are transitioning to a plant-based lifestyle. You know, it's just sort of a wonderful time to be in this world.
Now, your bio says you got a master in Harvard, at Harvard. What was it in?
In education.
Education, very good. Was that a while ago or recently?
I graduated in 2002, so not too long ago.
Were you vegetarian inclined at that time at all? Or?
I actually wasn't. I wasn't, but you know, certainly I saw that influence around me there,
mm-hmm.
and I think it just sort of added to my own pathway to getting to this point, which is great.
Well,
I think we're seeing that across college campuses,
yeah. You
know, everywhere, and that's so exciting for me that this option is now available to students.
Well, your book kind of has a frat boy party flavor, which is kind of fun, so I just was wondering about that.
Well, I actually drank a lot while I was at Harvard. It's a huge party school.
Well, so all schools are.
That influence didn't hurt.
You know, it's amazing we all graduate from college, or those that do, because there is definitely so much party going on. You mentioned in your acknowledgments the thing that turned you over to the Big V side was page 266 of Jonathan Safran Foer's book, Eating Animals.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what – I've got that book, and I'm open to that page. This is an amazing book, and where people talk about John Robbins back in 1987 writing the groundbreaking bestseller Diet for New America, I think Jonathan Safran Foer's book, which came out a few years ago, is the next of that ilk, this groundbreaking book that ties it all together in a really beautiful human way.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, so I'm reading through the book and, of course, just growing more and more horrified by what he is, you know, really educating me about that I did not know about before and in a beautiful way. And I hit page 266 where he's talking about Thanksgiving turkeys and he says, let's just basically call it what it is, they're unloved.
Hmm.
And it was that word, unloved. I immediately got out a highlighter and highlighted it.
Oh.
I got out a pen and circled it.
I'm circling it right now.
I never want to forget. Mm-hmm.
I'm circling it right now.
Yeah, and like I never want to forget that because at its very core, these animals on these factory farms are unloved. And that just breaks my heart every day.
Well, especially
thought,
since the theme of Thanksgiving,
you know,
you're supposed to be grateful and feeling all this love, and there's just so much hypocrisy right on the table.
That's right. And I thought, you know, no living being, human or animal, should ever go through this life unloved. And so it was that one word that really just revolutionized my life, and I'll forever be grateful for it. And that's actually, if you look at the dedication in the Tipsy Vegan, I allude back to that.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone else in your family shifted since you've made this transition?
Not shifted to a complete plant-based diet, but it's been really interesting to see my closest friends who are now eating more veggie burgers,
mm-hmm.
instead of beef burgers. They're, you know, instead of you know, chicken, they're devouring those like meatless nuggets that you get in stores. So they're slowly getting there. You know, and that's been really fantastic. And, you know, now they'll text me pictures of the meals they're making with the veggie burgers or the tofu, and it's an exciting time.
Now, you grew up in a beer brewing environment.
Yes.
Which is really fascinating. Can you just, I'm just kind of curious about all of that. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Sure. My family is one of the oldest brewing families in the U.S., like you said. Our Straub Brewery here in Pennsylvania was founded by my great-great-grandfather, Peter Straub, in the 1870s. And so today, we are one of the few remaining breweries to still be owned and operated by the founding family. And so it's a heritage that we take very seriously. You know, and for me, it inspired me to write a couple beer cookbooks a few years ago. So that was my first foray into boozy food, if you will. And it's just been sort of a great and fun ride. And, you know, I'm always...
Hello. I think we
all...
Oh, you're back. Good. I wasn't
ready.
I'm sorry. I wasn't ready to let you go.
And, you know, I'm always asked if I work at the brewery, which I don't. My cousins, I think, think if I would, if they put me on the assembly line, it would turn into that scene from I Love Lucy where she and I were in the chocolate factory and it would all go crazy. So, you know, they're very happy to send me off to do my book tours and all of that, and I'm more than happy to go. But I also do a lot of the charity work on behalf of the brewery and my family. So we've all sort of found our niche.
Great. Well, a couple of my college buddies, I have a master's in chemical engineering, and so we used to always talk about how things were done. We were always fascinated by beer foam, and we would get into lots of discussions about beer foam, and there's quite a lot of technology behind beer foam.
Well, you know, the whole thing is such a chemistry, and in fact, just in the last 2 years, the brewery has installed a lab, you know, to test the beer and everything, and I just walk in there, and it just blows me away how fantastic it is. My mind doesn't work in that direction, but I can certainly appreciate what goes into it.
Has anyone ever asked you this? I've gotten this question a few times when I tell people I'm vegan. Some of the questions they ask are, is yeast vegan? Can you eat yeast?
I haven't actually gotten that question. You know, I pretty much just get, well, what can you eat? They just don't quite...
can you eat? That's a tiring question. But it just shows how our minds have been so programmed around animal foods that we can't even imagine, you know, spaghetti with tomato sauce is vegan.
Yeah. It's very simple, and you know, and again, the Tipsy Vegan, I hope, will show people that we indeed eat a lot, and we indeed eat quite well.
Let's talk a little bit about this book. One thing I like about it is we need more guy-oriented books in the vegan world. There's a few of them that have come out, and you know, I just love books that come out that appeal to different groups of people, because I'm on a mission to get everybody loving plant foods, and any way we can do it is great. And so there are different niches that appeal to different people. And this would definitely appeal to a certain group of people, the fun ones.
Yes, the party people,
The party people. But, you know, people have been cooking with alcohol for a very long time. And one of the things I like about it, I don't like to use oil very much when I'm sautéing, and so alcohol, wine, is just a wonderful thing to add flavor to food and to sauté in.
It absolutely is, and especially, you know, this time of the year when all of us are getting tons of bottles of wine and everything else as gifts, some of which you may not exactly want to drink, it's perfect for cooking.
Perfect for cooking.
So it doesn't have to go to waste. You don't have to re-gift it, because you might not even want to re-gift it. You can use it to cook with. And so it's fantastic for all those gifts that we're going to be getting soon.
Were you always into cooking?
I've always been into eating. You know, I'm not a chef. I love to eat, and I think it's really from that perspective, the perspective of the eater and the perspective of the host or the hostess, that I write these books. you know, and have the most fun with them. And I think that's why they have sort of events that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, both of my parents are fantastic cooks. So I grew up watching them and, you know, learning from them. And now I've just put my own spin on it.
Well, it certainly looks like you know what you're doing. The pictures are beautiful, and the recipes are pretty tasty.
Well, they have, of course, to get into the book, they have to be the best recipes of the lot. So, because I really want people to enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the ones that I'm looking at, okay, you've got some really cute two little titles here. I'm looking the Hangover Tofu Omelet with Sauteed Chopped Bell Pepper Filling.
Yes.
Omelets is something that we don't see very much in the vegan world because it's a little bit of a challenge, but this looks like a pretty good recipe.
Well, and you know, there are only maybe two or three tofu recipes in the book because I again, wanted this book to appeal to a really broad range, and I think a lot of vegan cookbooks, they rely so heavily on the standby tofu, tempeh, seitan. But at the same time, for all those people who say, ugh, tofu, I don't like that, I wanted to show, yes, this is a way you will definitely like it.
You know, it's funny. The first time I ever had tofu, I was in college, and this was a very long time ago. And I wanted to like it, and it was all in my head. I made this dish, and I mashed it up so it was practically invisible. But there was just something, this thing inside that went, ooh, tofu. It's really funny. It's really rather childish the way we respond to foods that we don't know about.
That's true. But, you know, I have loved tofu from the first time I tried it. So I'm sort of one of those rare creatures, I think, because you just don't find, I think, too many people who have liked it from the start. They've either had to acquire a taste or really sort of find that one recipe that they love. But, you know, my sort of first foray into tofu, which occurred even before I completely transitioned to a plant-based diet, there's a favorite Chinese restaurant of mine here, and I always love to eat the Hunan chicken. And so I thought, I don't want the chicken anymore. And so I went in and I said, could you put tofu in instead of the chicken? And they did. And it's the most amazing dish. And now, you know, you asked about my friends and family. Now when my friends go in with me, that's what they order as well. And I said to the waitress, you really need to put this on your menu.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an odd twist, but the Chinese were probably cooking originally with more tofu than they were with flesh. And
yeah,
moving to the United States, everything has been so flesh-oriented that they've adjusted many of the recipes, which probably originally were with tofu. So there's something you have in here that I'm really nutty about, and I'm looking for what you called it. It's the fried egg, the fried avocado. What was that called?
Oh, and the plastered party starters?
Yeah. It's like a breaded fried, oh, here it is, the fried avocado paint the town. Okay, now this is a crazy, crazy recipe. I love cooked avocado. It has such an incredible flavor. It's almost like crack to me. I don't do it very often because it's just too crazy. But you don't see cooked avocado very often.
You don't, and it's such a brilliant food, and I think it's another one that some people are just kind of afraid of. And so my solution was, let's add a little tequila
mm-hmm.
and make it a little less frightening for people. And people, and that's actually one of the recipes people on Twitter and Facebook are telling me they are really enjoying that recipe. So that makes me feel good. But
yeah,
you know, anytime tequila is involved, you know, it can't be so bad.
Now, are you a big drinker? Just curious.
I may have to plead the fifth on that one. When I go out, I do love to drink. I love extra dirty vodka martinis.
Yeah.
Of course, I love beer. You know, my family's brewery does this dark beer, which I'm just over the moon about. But really, when I go out, it's the dirty vodka martinis. In fact, I just spent the last weekend in New York, which I think is where you are.
Yep.
You're from New York. celebrating my birthday weekend, and when I with friends, and when I left, I don't think there was a drop of vodka left in the city. So we had a good time.
Yeah, well, this is the best. This is the greatest city in the world, period, and probably the greatest place to find all kinds of food, including amazing vegan food. Did you go to any of our wonderful restaurants?
Yes, in fact, my friend took me, and I hope I get the name correct, to a fantastic Indian restaurant called Tiffin Walla, or Walla Tiffin.
Wow, there's so many of them here in New York.
Oh, you have to, I can't even tell you where it is, because when I'm in New York, I just follow my friends where.
Is it vegetarian?
Yes. The entire restaurant is vegetarian, because it was so funny. I kept, you know, I was going down the menu, and I kept asking the waiter, now, this doesn't have any meat in it, does it? And my friend was like, this is a vegetarian restaurant.
Yeah, well, sometimes we're so ingrained in that habit. When you're in a place that's all vegan, it's sometimes incomprehensible, but it's delightful.
I know, especially coming from, you know, a small town where, you know, when I go to a restaurant here, even the salads are loaded with meat. And so they kind of look at me funny when I say, well, can you just not put the fish or the steak or the chicken on the salad and just give me the greens? And they're just like, what?
Yeah, somehow, slowly, information's getting out that we need to eat more vegetables and salad's healthy, but somehow salad isn't healthy unless it has grilled chicken on it. I don't know where that message came from, but it's very popular.
Yeah, or they'll load it with French fries, which, you know, which are certainly vegan enough to eat, but I've never understood French fries on top of salads either.
Yeah, but beware, because French fries can have beef flavoring and all kinds of nasty
that
things in
true.
It. Yeah,
yes.
I'm looking on the Barnivore site, which you mention in your book as a place to discover which alcoholic beverages are vegan, because not all alcohol is vegan. You talk a little bit about that in your book. I'm noticing Straub beer is on the vegan-friendly list. Was it always vegan-friendly?
Yeah, it has been. And, you know, what's interesting, I hadn't really even thought about, and I don't think a lot of people have, whether alcohol is vegan or not before I really got into writing this book. I just assumed, oh, well, what can be in vodka or wine or beer or whatever? Until I learned, well, some beers and wines are processed using fish bladders and,
yeah,
you know, and other nasty things. And so it's not necessarily about what the ingredients are, but how it's actually made. And then I thought, oh, my goodness, I hope our beer at the brewery is vegan. You know, so I slowly typed in the name. And, of course, if it came up vegan friend, I'm like, oh, thank goodness, I would have had to have, you know, a serious talk with my cousins up there. And I actually afterwards did call our new brewmaster and said, I just want to confirm that this is correct. And he's like, yes, there are no animal products used. And I'm like, thank goodness, that's going to save us a sit-down chat.
Well, you bring up a very good point, and that is, and it's something that I like to talk about a lot on this show. We really need to be mindful about so many things. There's just so many things we take for granted. We don't know what's in our food. We don't know how things are made. And when that happens, horrible things can happen. And, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, using egg whites or fish bladders to make alcoholic beverages when clay or other natural plant, non-animal things can be used. How do we get there? Who thinks of these things?
Well, and it just blows me away that, you know, specifically with the alcohol, that there are still companies that would use animal products when there are so many others that don't, and it would seem to me it's quite easy to not use the animal products. And I think it's really to their detriment, and, you know, they're sort of cutting off what could be a huge chunk of their audience by doing that.
Yeah, well, as the 7.5 million of us become more savvy about what's in our alcohol, it'll make a difference. I still think most people and most vegans probably don't realize that a lot of their wine and beer isn't, or some of it isn't. But we're
I agree. I don't think they do, and I think that in a sort of a gentle way, the tipsy vegan will sort of start alerting people to pay more attention to the alcohol that they're consuming and cooking with.
Yeah, and I don't want to be the vegan police, but
no.
I want people to enjoy themselves and, you know, not worry about it. And it's really, when we talk about the big picture of why people want to eat plant-based foods, I think this is a small piece of a bigger puzzle. So I wouldn't sweat over it if you're having a wine and you're not sure if it was filtered with egg whites or not. I don't think that's a big deal. But it's certainly great that there's a website you can go to, barnivore.com, to check it out.
Yes, I completely agree.
So where do you want the tipsy vegan to go?
I wanted to go to every party in the country because I want people to just have fun with it. You know, again, on Twitter and Facebook, I'm hearing from so many people who tell me that they're using this book to set their menu themes for their holiday parties. I actually just did an exclusive holiday cocktail party menu for VegNews.com,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure a lot of your listeners listen to. So if they go to that, they can see a special menu that's not in the book on there. And people are telling me that they're using it since the book is, you know, a great little small book that fits in stockings and purses and backpacks. They're giving this book as a host and hostess gift this season.
Yeah, it's
and
a perfect size.
I just love
it's
that.
The perfect season. It's really fun, and I don't think it's great because it's not a scary book that non-vegetarians would be scared about. It's humorous, and it's all good. Well done.
Yeah, there's nothing scary about me. I just want to have fun and, you know, party.
Right, and we love Veg News. We were selected as one of the 10 nonprofits you need to know about this year in their best of 2011.
Oh, congratulations.
So I like to share that and spread that around and repeat it over and over. Well, John, thanks. This is great, and it's great talking to you. Perhaps one day we can share a beer, a vegan beer.
Oh, I hope. Well, I'll bring some of my families that we can that we can share. I hope. You know, I wish you and your listeners just happy holidays, and I hope that they're also quite buzzworthy.
Thank you. But don't be a tipsy vegan and drive.
No. Be a responsible tipsy vegan. Just stay over wherever you are. Then you can imbibe even more.
Well, I don't think people can really get too sloshed on any of these recipes. There's really just small amounts, and they just make it fun and flavorful.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely. Of course, every chapter starts with a cocktail, so that's where you have to watch.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get you.
Okay, well, very, very happy holidays to you. Is there a website people can go to for this book and others?
Absolutely. They can go to johnschlim.com, and there they can connect with me also on Twitter and Facebook, which I'd love.
Okay, have a very, very tipsy happy holiday. Thanks, John.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back with Terry Hope Romeo and Issa Chandra Moskowitz talking about vegan pie in the sky.